Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Romans 2:1-4. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Luke 6:27-35. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
Hey, it's Jonathan, and welcome to Epiphany, an audio devotional for all of us on the way to wisdom. In the great cinema classic, The Wizard of Oz, young Dorothy finds herself in a strange land and on a journey with friends to find the all-powerful wizard. All of her friends are seeking something. So I guess, spoiler warning if you've never seen The Wizard of Oz. The lion is in search of courage. Dorothy herself is looking for a way back home. The scarecrow is looking for a brain. And the Tin Man wants a heart. Now, when they arrive to the wizard, they find that he is not who they thought he was, and also that what they were searching for was closer than they thought. The wizard tells this group that they always had what they were looking for. And to the Tin Man, the wizard says, "You've always had a heart. You've had a heart that is capable of both giving and receiving love. But what you need is a testimony. What you need is a story to validate your heart, a story to validate your capacity for kindness." So the great wizard looks at the Tin Man and says, "I'll give you a story. I'll give you a testimonial." And he starts his testimony with these words, "In consideration of your kindness." The father of modern evolutionary thought, Charles Darwin, once observed that the thing that sets humans apart more than anything is their capacity to care. That in the brain, there is something unique about the human's ability to put aside their own needs of survival in favor of their kin and their clan. Neuroscientists today have studied this effect of mirror neurons, where humans can look at somebody in pain and the same part of the brain that lights up if they were in pain is active. We have the ability to look at somebody in pain and see them as ourselves. Charles Darwin is often quoted as being the author of this survival of the fittest mentality. But where Darwin gets misunderstood is that he also pointed out that the thing that was going to be key to humanity's survival and evolution was this rare and unique ability to care. That it's not just survival of the fittest, as it's been so far, but moving forward, it'll be survival of the kindest. And this capacity to care was key to what it means to be human. What Darwin first observed in the human species, this capacity to care and be kind, has been validated by neuroscientists today. And what we see is that when you experience an act of kindness as the recipient, as the provider, or even as a witness, it doesn't matter if you are the one doing the act of kindness, receiving the act of kindness, or just watching it happen. Regardless, the brain releases oxytocin in response. Oxytocin is the reward chemical in your brain. You reward yourself with the experience of good feelings. But not only that, this oxytocin actually helps to extend your life. Your body is actually healing itself, enabling itself and resourcing itself in response to kindness. Your life is made better when you experience, when you give, and when you witness kindness. It's easy to think that kindness is just a set of random acts. It's also easy to confuse kindness for just being nice to our own kin to survive. Another misconception is that kindness is a generalized tolerance of the other. And while all of those things have their place, Scripture invites us into something more and beyond and greater. When Scripture talks about kindness being the evidence or the fruit of the Spirit's work within us, it has something else in mind. This is why when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest of all the commandments? He says, to love God and to love your neighbor. And when pressed for who is our neighbor, he tells the story of the other and our dependence and reliance on the other. In another part of Scripture, Jesus says to love our enemies, and he actually gives strategies to the people of his day on how to be and act and to do loving kindness to those who persecute and defile their very existence. In another part of Scripture, Jesus tells his disciples that the world will know who we are. The world will know that we belong to Jesus by our love for one another. So why then are we told to, in one part, love our neighbor, in another, love our enemy, and then to love each other? Well, this is because of the kindness that we've been shown by God. It is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And this repentance is a return home. This repentance is like when you smell the spices that were used in your childhood home. It's like getting a scent of your grandfather's cologne. It's like smelling the furniture that was in your grandma's home. Kindness leads us to repentance, and this repentance is a return home when we are kind, not just through random acts and not just through a tolerant posture, but when we embody a kindness, a loving kindness, the categories of enemy and neighbor and each other dissolve, and we remind the world of what it tastes like and feels like and smells like to be home. When we embody the kindness of Jesus, the enemy, neighborly, brotherly love, then our heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh, and we remember what it means to be human again. When we decide to erect up borders, lines, and divisions and categories that would otherize people into each other and enemy, this is when we become tin people without chests, without heart. But the promise of Jesus is that our heart of stone would become a heart of flesh, and we would be a people of loving kindness reminding the world of what home is like. For Jesus, this meant loving the people that your community, your tribe of thought, held responsible for why the world was so horrible. So think about the people that the memes that come across your screen. Think about the way that the group that you are conditioned to hate and to despise. Through your own social programming, your education curriculum, and even the conversations at your dinner table. The kindness of Scripture is when you can love, embody a love towards them. Because what you find is that there is no them. There's only us. And this is when you become children of God. And this is when you draw the world into a repentance, a return back home where we all belong. So today, may you find yourself in the surprising awe, like the Tin Man, overwhelmed by the reality that kindness has always been within reach. May you find yourself overwhelmed and overcome by the kindness of God towards you. May you let that kindness clearly light your path back home with a posture of repentance and a heart of gratitude. May you find yourself like the wise woman of Proverbs, with kindness always at the ready, growing in wisdom, evidenced by kindness. May you move towards a world without clean-cut categories of them and us. And may you smell like the kindness of Jesus, blurring lines, blending categories, loving even them all the more.
Thanks for listening. I'm Jonathan, and this has been Epiphany.